When the Office of Management and Budget unveils more details about its new management agenda later this month, Margaret Weikert, the Deputy Director for Management, may want to consider a name change also. Instead of calling it a management agenda, maybe she should call it a people agenda. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller explains why a name change could be more than a cosmetic improvement. And he joins me now with why. And so why could it be more than cosmetic, Jason?
Well, the idea of a management agenda, Tom, we're now pushing 16, 17 years of this concept, right? It came first under the Bush administration, Bush number two. Obama administration continued it. And to each successive administration's credit, they are continuing along the same path, right? A lot of the same stuff, IT, human capital, financial management, a lot of the back office things. And I have nothing against the word management agenda. And as you well know, Tom, and people who know listen to us, I love me some management agenda. But as you step back, and I heard Dustin Brown speak, who is the OMB's Deputy Associate Director for Performance and Personnel Management. He spoke recently at the Association of Government Accountants National Leadership Forum, and he really brought up some interesting points. I mean, and this got me thinking that, hey, this idea of a management agenda, while good, important, necessary, really what he's talking about is people.
All right. Well, how did that
Everything is about people. Every initiative, improved mission delivery, they're looking at outcomes, right? Better customer service, better, more effective stewardship of taxpayer funds. That all goes back to the people question. Hiring good people, getting good people to do the work is, in the end, will make all these things happen. Now, Tom, one of the things that he said that really looks at that really brought this home to me was the need to break down silos, something we've talked about for decades. Too many times, you know, during regular times or regular issues, you know, agency one can't talk to agency two for whatever reason. But during crisis, and he pointed to the recent hurricanes, the recent wildfires, all those silos break down. And why do the silos break down? Because there's a crisis and the people say we have to get the work done. And I think that really brought it up to me that if you just focus on the people instead of the, if you will, management, and then that would really put the emphasis on the right spot.
Sounds like a memo coming to Dustin Brown from Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. All right. Why would this people agenda matter at places like agriculture, interior, that are undergoing a lot of change right now?
We know every agency is going through reorganization, and I pointed out interior and agriculture specifically, and there's probably many other agencies where there's this feeling, and we've talked to a lot of different people at those agencies, both myself and our colleague Nicola Grisco has written some excellent stories about the reorganizations, and the feeling that what we are being told is many times that these reorganizations are being done to the employees and not with the employees. On the opposite side of the spectrum, Tom, I've written a story recently about Health and Human Services, and that definitely feels different. The people I've talked to, the effort that they're going through is more collaborative, coordinated. It's coalescing around this idea of let's move together into a common goal. And I think USDA and Interior, just as two examples, there's not necessarily that feeling across the board. And I think by renaming this to a people agenda, that really would put a refocus on what matters the most, the people.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's big person himself, Jason Miller. Let me ask you about State Department. Did that come up at all? Because Rex Tillerson said all the right things about this being a bottom-up approach and a big survey that tens of thousands of people filled out, and yet he doesn't seem to get the hordes following him where he had wanted to take the State Department.
I think you're right, Tom, and I think some of that comes back from what the administration, the message the administration is sending around budgets, you know, wanting to cut the budget 30-some-odd percent, and Congress then pushing back. And a lot of it has to do with the lack of leadership from a political perspective. A lot of career people in political roles, and that puts them as it's a hard road for them because they don't want to do anything that may or may not be part of the administration or the eventual political appointee. So the State Department's another one where, again, focusing on the people, reminding the leaders that this is a people agenda, that people get the work done, that people make the goals, people make sure that the government moves forward in the proper way. That's why I think that you can really make the case that there's so many agencies at the top level this would be a good reminder to, because the management agenda, the who's held accountable, it's the secretaries, it's the deputy secretaries. And when does this come up? It comes up at the President's Management Council. So, Tom, this is one of those things where you definitely can say, hey, a small shift could really send the right message.
And this management agenda that we keep hearing about, it's supposed to be coming out this month. What do we know about it, and do we know when it's going to actually hit?
We don't know when it's definitely going to come out. They said March, so here we are in March, so any week now, right? But OMB laid out in the budget request to Congress from last month really six areas, six pillars: modernizing IT, a 21st century framework for data that drives efficiency, developing a workforce of the 21st century, improving customer experience for federal services, interestingly enough, Tom, shifting low-value to high-value work, and improving efficiency and effectiveness of administrative services across government. Again, none of this controversy, none of this partisan, none of this different really than previous administrations. But again, I'll go back to what Dustin Brown was saying, which is really, don't just make this a one-shot deal. Don't go for quick wins. He was saying we need this to be multi-generational, deep-seated transformation. And how does that happen? Well, it's hiring the right people. It's ensuring that the people understand what the data is and how they can use the data. It's understanding how to hire people. And when you talk about shifting low-value to high-value work, it's getting people to stop doing this type of mundane work. For instance, Tom, I'll give you an example. Dustin Brown talked about reports that go to Congress. He said, we have asked Congress to eliminate 402 different reports that we currently do. One of them, he gave an example, is the Plain Writing Act of 2010. Basically, at the President's Management Council, he said, people brought up, said, we don't need to be told, we don't need a senior accountable official. I think we can hold ourselves accountable for plain language writing. Now, some may argue with that, but that's a good example of one where, hey, that's some work that agencies do that I'm not sure anyone in Congress really reads.
Right. In fact, OMB itself could use a little work on the plain language.
Well, you provided that with the MGT Act memo recently. That was an interesting column for sure.
All right. And while we have you, Veterans Affairs, there is actually a new approach to developing service, in this case for their constituency, veterans. And what are their plans there? It sounds like they fit into what the management agenda is calling for.
In many ways, they are. And what VA announced just recently was a new beta platform called Lighthouse Lab. And the idea here, Tom, is to bring in developers, outside developers, and give them the tools to create web applications to really improve services for veterans. Now, Lighthouse Lab is this broader idea of micro-consulting. And I talked to Chris Kearns, who is a partner at Skylight Digital, former Presidential Innovation Fellow, former co-founder of 18F over at GSA. And one of the things he said was, using the micro purchase threshold, which, by the way, Tom, was increased to $10,000 from $3,500 just in this past year's NDAA, he said that could really make a big difference in terms of getting quick wins, bringing in new and different types of vendors, and really getting some innovation fairly quickly. And this is much different than what we see some other places, like OTAs becoming very popular at the Defense Department, other transaction authority. And there's a whole set of challenges and discussion debate around OTAs that we won't get into. But long story short is this is micro purchase threshold, and this is really a quick, easy approach to really change the way veterans get services.
Sure. So you can buy software services under OTA, other transaction authority. The issue is getting them to the ATO, which is the authority to operate, and that can be a
hurdle. You're just acronyming us to death here, but you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot of discussion around whether or not OTA, how they should be used, whether they should be used, are they fair? But here, micro purchase threshold, there's a lot of policy and regulations around it. It's been used for years, and now with the increase in dollar threshold, you can go out to a company that maybe doesn't normally do business in government and give them an opportunity and bring in some innovation in a much quicker and, if you will, less controversial way.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Tom.
Be sure to check out his notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.